Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He has come light years in the last 2 months, and people should be over the moon excited about that.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically, or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from. Boucher Automotive. We are driven by you.
My, oh my, lots of reaction to our conversation about personalized plates. We'll get to some of that as the show goes on. But I do want to get to this one. LL Cool Whip weighing in on the YouTube comments section. He said, I got behind someone whose plate was spelled out T-H-R-I-P-I-S-T. It's the therapist, but you can understand why I was confused. I almost read it too. Good morning, Jason Wilde. How are you today?
On that note.
Wow. Hi. Yeah.
Welcome to the program.
Interestingly enough, this is a great topic. By the way, Josh is so good at his job, right? Because some mornings, like after driving to ballet and coming back late at night, I don't get up in time to hear the first segment. And he recaps what I've missed, prepares me, so I know I could join the conversation. He's so good at what he does. Back in my younger days, I had a friend who worked at the Wisconsin DOT and was one of their jobs. She was in charge of basically nixing license plates that were inappropriate that people had submitted for personalized plates. And similar to these, the one you mentioned, one was I Love HD, and it was meant to be Harley Davidson.
Yeah.
But again, and so she put the kibosh on that. She said that, you know, that's going to be misread by too many people, and I'm afraid that, you know, people might get the wrong impression about your hobbies, so I'm going to have to disallow that. So this is a really good conversation. I'm going to listen to the rest and hear some of the other ones that come up.
Well, I just think it's an expression of your personal taste. It's an expression of things that you are fond of. I compared it to a tattoo. I know a tattoo is on your body, but like somebody weighing in saying tattoos don't say look at me. That's BS. No, Bruce, we're not saying the tattoos are look at me. At least I'm not. But it is another way that you express something that's important to you, something that is significant that has happened. And I have no issue with them. I actually think they're clever. And I am like Carrie in Mayville, who weighed in saying, I enjoy puzzling out personalized plates. The ones I don't understand are people who pay extra to say my Honda or my Camry. She said, we know. Or I guess we assume, you know, it could be somebody else's Camry and you just are borrowing it for the day.
Can you put whatever you want on a bumper sticker? Because I've seen some raunchier than raunchy bumper stickers. Is there a law?
Yeah, I don't think there's a DOBS. I don't think there's a Department of Bumper Stickers that is deciding whether or not things are appropriate or not.
A different Department of BS.
Yeah, there you go. See, all these double entendres can be very confusing. I actually had personalized plates when I was in college, which was strange because, frankly, the idea of paying extra for personalized plates when you don't have a lot of money didn't make a whole lot of sense. But I had University of Wisconsin plates, and I had Final Four on them because I was a big basketball fan. If you remember, the Badgers finally went to the tournament after 41 years in 1993. But the idea of them going to a Final Four was kind of far-fetched. And so when they actually did in 2000, our old friend Andy Kendi, for those who remember him at Channel 12 here in Milwaukee, and Channel 27 in Madison, wanted to do a story on my license plates because of how unlikely it was that some moron like me would think the Badgers would ever go to a Final Four, and then they actually did. So shortly after that, I just decided to save money and got regular Badger plates, but Final Four, you could always I always think about that when personalized plates come up.
Jason, a little housekeeping here. Red Batty retires. Yes. Who got the job? Tom Bakken? Is he still there?
Great question. So Tom Bakken is still there. He's kind of created a niche where he is their most trusted shoe guy. Was that the case when you were there? They call him T-Bone, by the way.
Well, he put my shirt on. He was my shirt guy.
I'm sorry?
Meaning jersey?
Yeah.
On your shoulder.
Because you can't. No, you can't put those things on by yourself. Jason, you know that. You can't. Not on game day.
I thought maybe you meant he was your shirt guy, like when you did that photo shoot of the picture that's sitting in the studio.
No,
he removed it for you.
And Jason, let's not forget, I also had the diaper, which a lot of guys probably don't have today. So he had to help. Yeah, you know, it was a little intimate at times, but he had to help me with my diaper.
Gotta love
snaps instead of zippers are better, though.
You can't go with the Velcro. Oh, that's a bad move.
Oh, that seems like that would chafe.
It chafes in the wrong areas. So,
by the way, speaking of your era and awkward things, so I'm waiting. Last week, Sid and I went to the Bucks game, and she was lucky enough to get to see her favorite player, Jrue Holiday, again. But I'm waiting in the hallway, and I'm standing next to Antonio Freeman.
Really?
Who's in town to see, so Sam Cassell is an assistant with the Celtics. He and Sam grew up in Baltimore together, so they've been lifelong friends. So he's there, so we end up talking. We pass like 20 minutes while we're both waiting there. But he had another friend of his that was along, and I got to tell one of my favorite all-time locker room stories, which was how early in my career, Free was teaching me how wide receivers get off of press man jam coverage, and like grabbing me by the shoulders and pushing and tugging at me wearing only his jock strap, which again is one of the both highlights and lowlights of my career. At one point I finally said, Free, can you finish this after you put on some shorts?
And see, so, nakedivity or whatever the word is different to us.
Nakedness?
Because Jason,
are you looking for nakedness?
I guess.
I kind of like nakedivity better.
I do.
But I go in my pool here.
I kind of like nakedivity.
I go in my pool here at night in the buff, and there's some landscaping lights. I guess if people wanted to catch an Eiffel with binoculars, they probably could, but...
You're telling on yourself, you're a big guy.
Jason, you know this. Some guys would just.
I was in the pool.
Some guys would just walk. Jen, and you probably know this too. Not a care in the world. Yeah. Not a care in the world. Just go into the locker room.
Grady Jackson was
bad luck
in his life. Yeah, and again, I am no Adonis like yourself, but like no towel or nothing, and like he would conduct interviews that way. I have a policy. You have to at least have shorts on. That like I if I'm on a tight deadline and I have to talk to you quickly, I'm not going to wait for you to get fully clothed, but at least shorts. It's just for my comfort, even if it's something that you, like Grady Jackson, don't care about.
Shifting gears.
Yeah,
shifting gears, Jason. With all this talk, and I know Rob Domofsky was on your show last week talking about Zach Tom potentially moving to center, are we going to get a peek of what the Packers' plans at tackle are going to be in the draft next Thursday?
Yeah, so great question. And, I mean, if they draft somebody in the first round, but that doesn't even guarantee necessarily that change is coming. I have to actually write my offensive line preview where I kind of do big picture where the Packers stand at the position and then go a little bit into the prospects. But what's really interesting to me, I can't remember a time where they lost three guys who started a ton of games, right? You got a five-time All-Pro that you cut. You got a right guard who started, 50-some games over 4 years, maybe even more. And then you've got Yash, who started 20-some games and was a contributor for a long time. So you have these three guys, which normally, with the amount of time they've played, would be a significant hit to your roster. And I'm not saying it's not, but because of the time David missed, because they were rotating Sean Ryan in, because Rashid Walker beat out Yash last year, they have their starting five set. Now, that could certainly change based on who they draft, but let's say they take the Mims kid from Georgia that they had in for a visit. You know, we were talking to Matt Bowen about this the other day. The dude started 8 games at Georgia. And while he's pegged as a first-round pick, that is a, you know, kind of picking the guy based on his potential. And so they could pick a first-round tackle and still start the 5 guys that they've largely finished the season with or went into the offseason as the starters. So you're right. We should get some idea. And don't forget, Packers history is littered with rookies who weren't first-round picks who became starters almost or instantly, right? Like Corey Linsley was a starter as a fifth-round rookie, right, in 2014. Obviously, Tausch started as a rookie. John Runyon, who just departed, started as a rookie a ton of games. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how much of their 11 picks, if they pick 11 guys, how many of those are invested in offensive linemen? And how many? I mean, Bakhtiari started as a rookie at left tackle, and he was trending towards starting at a guard spot before Bulaga tore his ACL. So there could be significant change coming, or they could just replenish their depth and start the 5 guys that would be starting today if they were running an actual offense.
Jason, over the weekend, Jeremy Fowler had a report on SportsCenter saying that it would heat up after the draft regarding the Jordan Love contract conversations. He's due to make around $10 million next year, signed a 1-year bridge deal last offseason, should be a lot bigger, putting him somewhere probably in the top 10 highest paid passers. Unfortunately for Jeremy Fowler, top 10 highest paid passers is an awful wide margin. You go with the top paid passer, I believe, is still Joe Burrow at $55 million annual average. You go to 10, and again, there's a couple of ties in here according to this list on Front Office Sports that I am looking at, but you're done anywhere down near the $40 million range near Daniel Jones. So, you know what I'm saying here. What does your gut tell you as far as which end of that spectrum Jordan Love will be on?
First of all, I don't know how much you've worked with Jeremy. He's a really nice dude. I really like him. I would imagine you would know this better than I would. But, you know, SportsCenter constantly wants content and get up and everything else. So when I saw that too, I did want to say to Jeremy, no blank blank, as Tausch would say. Like, we all know that this is coming. What I thought was interesting was that I think his report then prompted people to think, and maybe they'll be proven right, because, again, I don't rule anything out. But after that report, there were people that were jumping to the conclusion then that this is going to happen, like, right after this gets after the draft, and once they get to that May 3rd, May 4th window where the one-year extension time expires and they're able to sign them to an extension. And Goody said this offseason, both at the scouting combine and at the NFL meetings, that this is not going to happen quickly. It is a process. And I think the reason it's a process is because of that wide swath of financial real estate that Jeremy is talking about. But no one is going to get paid that's any good less than Daniel Jones. So we know that, right? That is definitely the floor. I would also argue that even though he is Goody's guy, and Goody is very proud of himself for having the foresight to have taken him after the 49ers traded up in front of him and took Brandon Ayuk, he acknowledged that this is a quarterback who has had 9-10 really good football games, and that's a lot of money to pay him. Same with the concept of not giving him the fifth-year option. Remember this time last year? Like, we all kind of assumed they were going to give him the fifth-year option, right? Mm-hmm. $20.3 million or whatever it was. He's Goody's guy. And when we asked Goody at this time last year if he was going to do it or why he didn't, I think is when we finally got to ask him, His quote was, "That's a lot of money to give to a guy that hasn't played." Well, $53 million a year, or whatever the average might be, if you want to try to get him at the top, right after Burrow, it's a lot of money to a guy who's only started 17, 19 games, 20 games, and hasn't played well in about half of them. I mean, played okay in some of them, but didn't play great except in the second half. So I think this is going to be a process. I'm really eager to see where this falls. I do not think he will reset the market. I do not think he will be at $40 million. I have said from the beginning that somewhere between 45 and 50 is where I think it falls in an annual average. What really matters is how much guaranteed money he gets. But, like, my argument has been, yeah, Jordan was great. They need to lock him up. If I was him, I would not push the envelope too hard because I would want the generational wealth of $100 million guaranteed or whatever it ends up being. But you look at his resume, are you going to pay him more per year than Lamar Jackson, who has won two NFL MVPs? Because his average is 52. And to me, as much as I like Jordan and as good as I think he is capable of being, I don't think he has the resume to put him ahead of Lamar Jackson today. And I don't know what his agent thinks. I don't know what Jordan thinks. I don't know what the Packers think, but that is what I think.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Ryan in Muskego weighing in saying, "Nakativity, I just hit a pole driving my truck, LOL." So, at the very least, we're giving Ryan a memorable morning. Have a good one, Jason.
Would certainly change the manger scene underneath the Christmas tree. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
It's a nakativity.
I mean,
he was
born.
Naked.
Yeah, I mean,
he was. So you can combine the two,
He was famously swaddled in a manger.
Yeah, but when he came, it's not like he came out that way, Jen.
A nakativity.
Is your business looking for localized banking solutions and a strategic partner? Fifth Third Bank has been looking forward to the future and helping businesses shape what's next for 165 years and for the last 15 right here in Milwaukee. They offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making capabilities, and extensive experience to help you navigate the complexities of a constantly changing business market environment with your business in mind. So what does that mean? That means that Fifth Third is big enough to provide sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, but also empowered to make local decisions and work from a foundation of strong community connections. Commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
TBD.
No, not how this
attaboy.
Works. That's not how any of this
That's
works.
That's how you make content.
What do you mean? What do you mean? That's how it works for him.
What's TBD mean?
To be determined.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
To be dumb.
Did you hear him say to be dumb?
To be dumb. Did Joshy say that?
He did.
On 94.5 ESPN.